why are we waiting on Becky to get her music? I'll say a few words. Good morning, and I'm so glad you decided to join us this morning on this beautiful sunny morning, and it's not raining. Amen to that, huh? And God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good.
Good morning. It is good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning. The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to gather in His house to worship and celebrate. And we look forward to the time of worship this day. We look forward to the time of gathering around the table to remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us as we gather for the Lord's Supper this morning. As we do gather, I do want to remind you about many of the ministry opportunities that take place today, this afternoon and this evening. I want to remind you that our adults will be meeting at 4 o'clock for our adult Bible study as we continue the study of the notorious characters in the Bible. So come out at 4 o'clock. If you have not joined us before, it is not too late to continue that study today at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Youth and children, reminder, at 5:30, we do have our studies this evening as we can start our Sunday night Bible studies tonight at 5:30. Also, reminder to our ministry teams, at 5 o'clock tonight, church council will be meeting upstairs. So if all our ministry teams, please be represented. If our ministry team leaders cannot be there, please have someone from your ministry teams there so they can share what our ministry teams are working on so we can communicate that during our church council meeting. I also want to remind our Vision Leadership Team members that our meeting is tomorrow night at 6 o'clock here at the church as we discuss those plans. And then next Sunday, we do have our Elon Roundtable meeting. That'll be at 5:45. Now, it is printed in your bulletin. That is at 5:30. However, that meeting will be at 5:45 next Sunday night. That is church-wide. So please come out for our Elon Roundtable meeting next Sunday night at 5:45. There'll be many items that will be being brought for that meeting, so please come out next Sunday night for that. Also this week, we do have our senior adult luncheon. It is scheduled for Tuesday at 11:30. Unfortunately, our singer, Reverend Paul West, will not be able to come and share his music with us. He is unfortunately had some crisis at his home this past week. Reggie was sharing that with me this middle of this week. We want to be in prayer for him. His house had some flooding issues and dealing with some mildew issues, and actually the North Carolina Baptist men are doing some helping with some of the things that are going on in his home. He's actually had to move out of his home currently and is in a temporary housing, so be in prayer for him and the work they're doing at his home. And we've actually said, don't worry about coming to sing this week, we're going to have you come in the future. So be in prayer for the work that they're doing in his home currently and the temporary housing that he's in. where we'll be in prayer for Reverend West, and he will be coming in the near future to come and sing. However, we are still going to have our luncheon on Tuesday. The food has already been bought. It's already been purchased, and we will have a wonderful time of gathering around the table on Tuesday at 11:30. So if you want to come, it's still not too late. I think we have enough food to cover everybody, but if you still want to come, let me know as today. I need to know today. But I'll look forward to a time of fellowship around the table on Tuesday for our senior adult luncheon. Many other things are going on, so please check your newsletter, check your bulletin for some of the things coming up in the near future here at First Baptist Church of Elon. As we gather here this morning, we do want to focus on God's Word, and our opening scripture reading comes from Galatians chapter 5, reading verses 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. As we reflect on the words of Paul this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, grower of the spiritual fruit within us, please let the fruit of the Spirit blossom within our congregation. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let us possess them and display them in our worship this day and in our lives of worship every single day. Christ, we belong to you. We have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Let us live by the Spirit. Let us walk by the Spirit. Let us show no self-conceit, give no provocation, have no envy towards anyone else. Let us live in, through, and for Christ Jesus our Lord, as he lives in, through, and for us, and in his whole church. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and sing our hymn of praise, Lamb of God.
Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God.
As many of you know, the choir does two cantatas every year, and it's hard to believe that it's time to start Easter. We just finished Christmas, but there's never an ending cycle. As soon as you finish Christmas, Easter is right there. And so we started about 2 weeks ago working on our Easter cantata, and it's called To the Risen King. And we will present that on Palm Sunday, which is April the 5th. And if anybody out there would love to join us, we'd love for you to come on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock and join us. We'll start practicing from 7 to 7:30 on Easter. It's not too late. We'd love for you to join us. You don't have to read music to do this, but please. It helps if you can read music, but you don't have to read music. And we would love for you to come join and be a part of that and present that on April the 5th during the 11 o'clock worship to the risen King. It has very familiar tunes, How Great Thou Art, Crown Him with Many Crowns, and several more. That's just the two that come off the top of my head. I forgot to bring the book in here with me. I would bring my head if it wasn't attached on my shoulders. But please consider it. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock for 30 minutes is all it will take. And but if you just pray about it, and we hope to see you soon. Our offertory hymn this morning is Jesus at Your Holy Table. Let's stand and let's worship together. Jesus at Your Holy Table.
Gracious Heavenly Father, God of grace and mercy, we come to praise and worship you now with our offerings. We pray we have an attitude of generosity and joy in bringing these monetary offerings, as well as in giving our time and efforts in serving you. Thank you for all the ways you bless us individually and this church. Thank you for your greatest gift to us in your Son. May we be so filled with a desire to share your love and care as we leave this place that your light will glow brightly over this entire community. May all that we give, all that we do, and all that we say be pleasing to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
be seated.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of worship, especially this day as we gather as your people to remember Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, for the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood. May our moments together provide an opportunity for us to reflect on the meaning of that sacrifice. We confess, O God, that we at times do not live up to the name of Christian. But may we be reminded that you love us anyway, and you always encourage us to do better. May we treat others the same way. May we be forgiving and encouraging and loving. And now, O Lord, as we share a portion of your scripture, we pray your Spirit will move among us. And give us encouragement for living out our calling in this place. In the name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. From Matthew's Gospel this morning, chapter 21, beginning with verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, and he put a wall around it, he dug a wine press in it, and he built a watchtower. And then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. And when the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. And then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. And last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance." And so they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. And therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. And so they looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word this morning. In a previous church, A deacon and I went visiting one time, and we went to visit this longtime member who hadn't been in a long time. A lot of churches have those. We went, and she was nice, invited us in. First thing she wanted to know, she said, well, how are they doing down at the church? We had a nice conversation. On the way home, the deacon says, who was she talking about? Aren't we they? Throughout church history, the church has used a lot of they's. Sometimes the list pointed to the religious officials of the day, like the Pharisees and the chief priests, but they also included Gentiles and women and eunuchs and Judaizers and sinners and barbarians. People in every age, including our day, have had a tendency to put a distance between themselves and the perceived bad guys. I heard a story once of a Sunday school teacher who told her class of fifth graders the story of the Pharisee and the publican. You might remember that. She said the Pharisee stood to pray so that everyone could see, and he bragged to God and said he was not like this other man. And the poor publican stood in the shadows and whispered, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The teacher then talked about the piousness of the Pharisee, and she ended the class by saying, now, class, let's bow our heads and thank God that we are not like those mean old Pharisees. But we really are like those mean old Pharisees. That's the meaning of the story. Matthew relates in our text today that the tenants were given a plot of land to tend. It kind of reminds me of the Garden of Eden. The owner had already done most of the grunt work there. Scripture says that he planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. And then he left his vineyard in the hands of some tenants. Not in their hands, but in our hands. And like those Pharisees, we have made mistakes. We thought the land belonged to us. We forgot that we were stewards, managers of someone else's property. How dare the owner send servant after servant and finally his son? After all, the tenants had worked very hard on this land. Haven't we done the same thing? Leaving the garden in our hands, we've made it into a jungle. War and terror and ecological disaster, financial uncertainties, families in distress, confusion, fear, pessimism everywhere, values twisted, turned upside down. The old words have been given new meanings. And we protest. Of course, we're not they. We can't be they. It isn't our fault. We blame it on somebody else. In Genesis, the man blamed the woman, and the woman blamed the serpent. And I always wondered who the serpent blamed. We blame it on the tenants who came before us. We blame it on the government, Wall Street, on those sorry religious institutions. Some of the darkest moments in the history of the church are the times that we punished the Jews using chapter and verse from this very parable. The words they and we were poles apart. Jesus will not let us off the hook so easily. He brings the two words, they and we, close together. In this story from Matthew's gospel, even the chief priests and the Pharisees knew Jesus was talking about them. When the church collected the stories that they put into the Gospels, they left this parable in. Do you ever wonder why? Because it was a word to the church then, and it's still a word to the church now. It was a word to the first century church. It is a word to the 21st century church. It was a warning to all religious groups and all churches, including this one. Be careful, lest we forget we are only tenants. Be careful, lest we do not listen to the servants and the prophets that God sends among us. Be careful when the owner sends his son that we do not ignore him and crucify him once again. The church today is having a hard time, not just this one, the church in general. People are staying away in droves, and they're doing it while we sit down and we argue about what kind of songs we should sing, what kind of instruments we should use, what kind of liturgy we should have, or whether we should even have any, or how are we supposed to dress when we come, and what time should we have a service, and how do we build our buildings, and lo and behold, we argue about who is allowed inside of our church. It ain't our church, folks. It's God's church. We're the tenants. Could our trouble be the same as the Pharisees? We forget this is God's thing. We forget that we are the tenants only. We forget that the owner of the vineyard will one day come and ask each of us for an accounting. What have you done in my vineyard? He's going to ask you and you and you and me, what have you done in my vineyard? You see, worship is not about us. It's about God. It's not about what we like. It's about God, whom we are to love. Our word worship comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word, worthship. It means to ascribe supreme worth and importance to God. The psalmist sang, "Give unto the Lord the glory, do his name." And the author of Revelation sounded the same note when he wrote, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Worship is not about us. It's about God. From a theological viewpoint, worship is the gospel in motion. Worship celebrates God's great acts of salvation. During worship, God communicates to us worshipers his salvation and his healing, and we, the people, respond in faith and praise and prayer and thanksgiving and a life of service in the world, which also belongs to God. Maybe our task is to stop pointing fingers. Maybe it isn't the dreaded old liberals or the crazy old conservatives. Maybe they're not to blame. Maybe it's not the fault of the government or the immigrants or the terrorists or the news media or even our parents. We are they. We are they. We are to faithfully tend the garden that has been given to us. We're to make sure that when God walks down our street and stops at our house and knocks on our door, we do not miss God. Remember what happened at the first Christmas, and maybe even the last Christmas we just celebrate. Did you see the Christ child? How much easier is it for us to point fingers at the Jews or those other people? You know, them over there. How much harder is it for us to ponder the mystery? What does it mean to be a tenant of God's vineyard in the year 2020? What does faithfulness look like? Billy Graham showed us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer showed us. Mother Teresa showed us. The call to fidelity, which means tending the vineyard, that's what it means. It begins at home. It begins at First Baptist Elon. It begins right now. It doesn't end here, but it starts right here. And so we must not make the mistake so many have made throughout the history of the church. The intent of this story in Matthew's gospel is not to accuse or bash Judaism and its leaders. Matthew had a much larger and grander purpose. Holding up the mirror of disobedience and rebellion, the church then and the church now must ask a painful question about the unworthy tenants. Lord, is it I? Have I been disobedient to your will and your wishes? Have I chased off your servants, pretending this vineyard was mine? Lord, is it I? Jesus said that we have been given this plot of land. It was in good shape when God gave it to us. And now our task is the same as those who came before us, to leave the garden better than the way we found it. That's our calling. And if this is true, it will take all of us working together to make this garden lush and green and productive. And hopefully we will reach out and join hands and hearts to our brothers and our sisters and even strangers and our enemies. Isn't that the kind of world we want for those who would follow us? Maybe it is us after all. Jesus still says, come and follow me. Come and live a life of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And so may our lives as tenants in God's venue bring glory and honor and praise to his holy name. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to your table now, we thank you for the gift of your Son, our Savior and Lord. What better place to come to seek forgiveness and a renewal of our faith? Use these elements, O God, the bread and the cup to encourage us to leave this garden better off than when you gave it to us. Through Christ who is Lord. Amen.
He took a loaf of bread.